This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
But why are all eyes on KZN? Surely not just for the swearing in of a premier. Well, it's also because, the security cluster ahead of the elections raised some concerns about hotspots in the country pre-election and post-election. And KZN seems to be one of them. And so we've seen in the last 72 hours almost a doubling down of police resources and boots on the ground in certain parts of KZN. One, because of concerns about flashpoints, if there isn't an agreement on the election results, if all concerned parties don't accept it, don't accept this GNU. But secondly, because KZN has just had a heightened incidence of general violence as a whole. We've seen a lot of work being done by the provincial commissioner, a lot of work tackling cash and transit heists, robberies and burglaries. But there's just a general sense of the province having many flashpoints. And so right now we're going to be talking about that as we start off with Colonel Robert Nichunda, who's the spokesperson for the SAPS in KZN. We also have Mary De Haas. Mary, good morning.
Good everybody.
Mary, if I could just ask that we're going to speak to you in about 5 or 6 minutes. I know that the Colonel has duties at the inauguration of the Premier, so we just want to get his view quickly and then we can come back to you. Colonel, good morning.
Good morning to you and to the listeners.
Thank you so much. Okay, so we've seen a lot of videos and footage of a lot more boots on ground in KZN. What does your intelligence tell you?
The intelligence is thus far told us that the province is relatively stable. Yes, there are still certain areas that need police attention. Mm. There are areas that need more facilities than others. So generally, the province is stable, and that is owing to the numbers that we have been receiving from the national agency.
Okay, so we're seeing a lot more police activity just in terms of monitoring. In some cases, obviously, there's been action, but the police are just there to reinforce their presence. Why is that? What were the fears in KZN?
There were no fears. It's part of the elections operational plan, which was in three or four parts, that will police re-elections when the politicians are campaigning. We police that, we had numbers, and we had to police the elections themselves. Now we had to police post-elections. Mm. Now that the results are out, they are known, governments are forming, that and that part which we need to put police. So yes, we have those numbers, police, those three faces.
Okay, so you had a pre-election strategy, you had an election strategy, and now you've got a post-election strategy to keep the peace.
Yes, and we are now in that stage where we need to ensure that the newly elected government takes office in the stability. And apart from the political space itself, we need to focus on crime in general. There are those areas that we have been seeing protests in, with the one what they're saying they are looking for services, water, and everything else. Yeah. So we are responsible to ensure that even those protests are peaceful. If not, we act accordingly.
Okay. So this is really, the strategy is really about public order management, is it, Colonel Nichunda?
Yes, that's why members who are being deployed are public order police officers. So that they can be able to handle any eventuality that might arise. Because it's not only violence. There are those after elections who might want to go out and celebrate. You must be able to do so in a lawful manner. You must not just have their unauthorized convoys and block the roads and all those things, or just try and disturb other people's peace. So we are there for that. We are ready to ensure that everybody goes on with their lives in a peaceful environment.
Okay, but why is there such a heavy deployment, Colonel Robert Nichunda, in KZN? So at the start of the election period, you know, or pre-elections, there were 200 police officers deployed early May. by the end of May, an additional 300 was deployed, and now another 300 public order cohort has been added to the policing operation. So, you know, that's quite a lot of policemen on the ground in KZN.
If you look at 12 point something million people in KwaZulu-Natal against at least 1.5 thousand people which were added to the province, I don't think that classifies to be called heavy. Because we still need more members if we are to ensure that every part of the province is covered. As it is now, there will be police that must be moving from one area to the other if we are to cover all the areas at a go. Remember, we at the police, if violence is to happen in areas simultaneously, we need to have the numbers to respond okay. simultaneously. So 12 point something million people against at least over 18,000 officers, which are less now because during the elections, officers who were doing office work were on the ground. Now they are back doing their duties. That's why we need these additional public order police officers to be on standby to ensure that the stability in the province. We don't believe that it is a heavy deployment. Okay. If there would be more, we will appreciate it.
Okay. And then finally, as we say goodbye to you, so we can assume that with the premier being inaugurated and a government being formed, that there'll be less of a need to be monitoring or to be part of this election strategy. So are we going to see a lot of these men and women being redeployed elsewhere, or are we going to see some of these members being recruited into the KZN security cluster? Because as you say, there's a need on the ground, there's a demand, there's 12 million people and not enough police officers.
Intelligence analysis will inform us the next step that is to be taken. If members who are on the ground need to be here for a month or two, that will be done. The focus here is to ensure that there is stability, there is peace, there is law and order. Intelligence, which we collect on a daily basis, yeah. will inform us what steps to take next.
Okay.
The province was a focus area because of various reasons. We had to accommodate 3 months resolutions. Okay. In the province. We needed numbers to do that.
Right.
The long queues which experienced were in this province, we needed numbers for that. So yes, if intelligence suggests that we keep these numbers, so shall we.
Then you will. Okay. I can see that you're needed at the parade. We can hear the trumpets, and on television I can see your colleagues are in their parade in formation right now with also the ceremonial cavalry as well. So perhaps we should let you go, Colonel Robert Nechuhunda, spokesperson for the SAPS KZN. Mary de Haas, let's bring you into the conversation because what we're hearing is that the intelligence and security cluster spoke about, you know, just beefing up security pre-elections, during the elections and post-elections. And those who want to read something into it will say, yeah, because there's always been threats of volatility. Even the July 2021 unrest, the epicenter was KZN. So it's a flashpoint.
Look, indeed, I mean, I think that's the reason for it. It's actually quite unpredictable, but you must remember there are still these subtle threats. There's a couple of important things. One is that policing has been heavily politicized for years. That's part of the problem. I mean, in July 21, a lot of police didn't lift a finger because they supported Zuma. So that, of course, is, and I mean, this is the province in which MK has got, which is basically a faction of the ANC that broke away. It's the province that is, apart from, of course, places like the hostels in Gauteng, perhaps, but this is a key base for MK, and they are making threats still. You don't depoliticize peace overnight. It's one of the biggest challenges waiting for the government. I mean, there was an incident, and this just I just happened to find out about it from someone I know during the elections. There was an incident at a station, at a voting station, that I wouldn't have thought had been in a high-risk area, in which an MK guy actually threatened and almost was ready to shoot an ANC guy at the polls. Mm. And it wasn't the police who intervened. These are the local police. It was a security company that intervened and a case was opened. So there's a huge amount of sympathy for Zuma in this province.
Mm. Okay. So I mean, you mentioned Jacob Zuma, but the general gist of what you're saying is that KZN has quite a bit of political turbulence, and it has that history as well, even preceding any issues around the formation of MK.
Look, it's, I mean, when we talk political turbulence, yes, we certainly have a history of it up until around about the early 2000s, and then there were still kind of sporadic politically linked incidents and killings. And when I say politically killings, I mean, the whole problem is, you know, there's maybe an overemphasis on politicians being killed, because especially councillors, I mean, every killing should not be happening, you know, with the councillors or anybody else. But the problem is that being especially at council, but not just exclusively at council, at other levels too, including provincial, access to positions in government bring a lot of perks, including the involvement in tender allocation. A lot of these councillors have business interests sometimes, you know, sometimes through fronts. Mm. They will establish, for example, a security company through a front so they can give it a tender. So when we look at the killings of and the attacks on councillors, some of them, there's a variety of possible, very few of them get to trial. So, but in one we know of, it appeared to be a guy who crossed from the IFP and the ANC, and it wasn't. It was an intra-ANC thing because it was a factional thing. Mm. And we only know that because the case went to court.
Right.
So it can be for that reason. It, you know, in terms of inter-party conflict, that has largely, not exclusively, died down. And it's not only at elections. I mean, the past history of coalitions, for example, when the NFP broke away, there were a number of killings then because it was believed they were to the opposition. But I mean, it comes and goes, put it that way.
Okay. Well, you know, to corroborate what you're saying, the police minister, Peggy Cele, in fact, the outgoing police minister, Peggy Cele, said in May that there is a growing concern over the increase in political assassinations. And then as he made those statements, SALGA, the South African Local Government Association in KZN, called for interventions and reinforcements because they were concerned about the trend in KZN. We've seen it in other parts of the country, but there was just a sense that something is amiss and Orion KZN.
Yeah, look, I have a problem with all of that, quite frankly. Mm. I mean, even the SALGA, the kind of, I mean, I don't know where they got the stats from, because I know, I mean, even the statistics that Morani Commission arrived at, because both Vanessa Berger, who's been very involved in the Gleeblands killing, and I checked those stats carefully, and some of them were incorrect. And we'd given them the information. I was the only one at one stage who was keeping stats, and they're very difficult to keep because there's a lot of killings you don't hear about. You don't know what the motives are, etc. And I think I know that there was a scramble a while back for stats, so perhaps they did cobble together some from different sources. I don't know. But as I said, when they came out with some of them, I wasn't sure, because you also get this position where you say, well, you know, these are... I looked at the minister himself, the outgoing, gone minister, because he's no longer minister, had been engaging in grossly irregular conduct. I mean, the political killings task team basically was his project, and that team, there's growing evidence that it was just covering for his colleagues who were involved in killings. So there are these kind of problems with any stats. And I know that, I mean, when I looked at what they claimed in one of the releases of their successes, I didn't see many that are on a list of political killings. You know, sometimes what they do is include people who are known supporters of a party as a political killing, and you can't do that. You know, it's people who are in positions of importance in parties or government that you usually...
Okay. All right. So I mean, you've made many sort of insinuations at the moment, and the former police minister, Bekicele, we know he announced that he will not be coming back in the seventh administration, being complicit in covering up some of the political crimes or whatever it is that you're saying. I just want to know why it's happening in KZN on what seems to be a higher prevalence than anywhere else in the country. And whether or not the police strategy of deploying 1,200 officers since May is working.
Look, I don't know if it's working, but a police presence... Look, you must remember that in July 21, the government was complicit in what happened. I mean, through the Minister of Police, because the army should have been deployed immediately to keep the roads clear. You wouldn't have had that extent of damage if the army had been deployed. And they did not. They dragged heels deploying the army until the damage was done. So you can't blame them for perhaps being... I mean, both the National Commissioner... You see, the problem was that up until the departure of this minister, and, I mean, he's known to be close. You can't say he could just turn a blind eye. He's known to be close to people who have a history of involvement in killings in this province. Okay, so he should not be heading a political task team. Now, the National Commissioner is finally free to run the police himself because the minister has been illegally, in terms of the SAP Act, operationalizing it himself. Okay, now the National Commissioner and the Provincial Commissioner are both well-trained public order policing people. So, I mean, I just hope they've done something about... You know, training and equipping public order policing because went around in July 21, but nobody answers my questions anymore. Okay, so we can't blame them for being on the cautious side. I mean, I don't know, you know, just the visibility of police can obviously make a difference to people who want to cause trouble.
Okay. Mary De Haas, we have to end our conversation now, but I'm going to ask you this question. The president, after his inauguration, will hopefully be announcing a cabinet. And many things have been said about some of the coalition partners saying devolve power back to the provinces, bolster the National Police Commissioner, bolster the provincial commissioners like Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi, give them the resources and don't keep the decision-making in the Ministry of Police. Do you support the idea of devolution?
No, it's nonsense, quite frankly. If you look at it, you know, I don't know, don't they read the Constitution, people? They take the oath to defend it. We have a system of collaborative ministers, right? Now, you can't appoint it. I mean, provincial commissioners already have a fair amount of power. You can't appoint a provincial commissioner without the approval of the governing party in the province, right? And it's the provincial commissioner who's got the power to do all sorts of things. Intelligence operations are provincial as well as national. You know, I think one of the most dangerous pieces of rhetoric around at the moment, very dangerous, is this call for more devolution of powers. It is a disaster waiting to happen. You're asking for conflict if you do that. We have a system... Our constitution allows sufficient devolution of powers. I mean, the Cape is going on about it, and they can't even deal with the gang problems themselves. They've got their own corruption problems there. So we have a system now where there are checks and balances by three levels of governance. So you've got powers with, and more than enough powers with the provinces. They can even have a commission themselves into what's happening. Okay. I mean, what more do you want? But you've got checks and balances from national. Like, for example, now, when you have a province in which the politicization of the policing and the tribalization at the expense of nation building since 2009 is a serious risk to stability, you actually need to be able to deploy police from other parts of the country.
Mary De Haas, thank you very much for your views. She's a political violence researcher, social justice advocate, and that DEAR proposal that give more policing functions to the provinces, she says, no, no, no.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.